I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. There's a fascinating new book out well worth picking up. It's called The Man Who Saved Vancouver, and it tells the story of the life and times of one Major James Skit Matthews, a colorful, not uncontroversial, persistent, and remarkable man in the city's history. He initiated the idea of an archive for the city to preserve the history of Vancouver. Everything about the man was unique, including how he saved a great deal of history, both tangible and oral, of Vancouver. Daphne Slay is the book's author, and she joins me now. Born in England and educated at Oxford, Daphne Slay won the 1984 Lieutenant Governor's Medal from the BC Historical Federation for her book Discovering De Roche, Where She Lives. She was also the first curator of the Maple Ridge Museum. The book is published by Heritage House and retails for $19.95. The foreword is written by Jean Barman. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Daphne Slay. Good morning, Ms. Slay.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Tell
me, who was Major James Skit Matthews, and where was he born?
Major Matthews was Vancouver's first city archivist. He did a wonderful work in founding the city archives at a time when there was a depression on. It was the most unlikely thing in the world for the city to be contemplating an extra department, but from sheer force of personality, he succeeded in convincing them to let him initiate the city archives. He was born in Wales, spent his childhood years in Wales, then his parents emigrated to New Zealand, so as a teenager he lived in New Zealand. He fell in love. He made what you might call an elopement. This was really the reason that he migrated to North America, because neither set of parents approved of the marriage, and I think the young couple thought it was best that they made a fresh start in the new world.
And what brought him to Vancouver?
He doesn't explain exactly why he moved to Vancouver. He started off in the United States working for a timber firm, but finally decided the only explanation that he gives is that he thought he would like to live under the British flag again.
And he worked for Imperial Oil, didn't he?
Yes.
What was his role there?
A salesperson for Imperial Oil.
And he did that in Vancouver, or was that elsewhere?
He did this in Vancouver. He was based there. Once they started to open gas stations in various parts of BC, he was a traveling salesperson and sales manager and traveled around the province starting up new stations. And he worked for Imperial Oil for the first half of his working life.
And throughout his career with Imperial Oil, he remained very much attuned to wanting to archive Vancouver, I guess, and collect history in both tangible and oral form. Is that correct?
Yes. After half his working life spent in a commercial line, he decided that there was more to life than this. I suppose it was a kind of midlife crisis. And he'd always been a collector of historical items, maps, photographs, any kind of ancient document. And he'd been a military historian for the Duke of Connaught's Own Rifles archives. And in fact, he had a reputation as a military historian in an amateur sort of way before he joined the city archives.
And he championed that idea of an archive for a very long time. Well, why was the city so reticent? Was it because it was during the Depression and funds were low, or was there other things at play there?
I think that was the reason, yes. I think it was really financial. Some of the councillors were sympathetic to the idea, but there was always this huge obstacle that they had limited funds and what should they spend it on. If you look at the city council minutes of those years, you realize that they were having incredible difficulties with relief assistance and so on.
And talk to me about the role his wife played.
His second wife, I expect you mean?
His second wife, yes.
Yes. devoted to his second wife, and she supported him in every sort of way. She was a great moral support to him at a time when he was undergoing difficulties, not getting on very well with the council, and very short of money because there was hardly any money to pay him in the early days, and it meant considerable self-sacrifice on the part of Matthews and his wife.
The portrait that you paint of the both of them is that of a loving marriage, but she also shared his passion for history, is that correct?
I believe so. She's a very shadowy figure in his memoirs. All we know is that she was this great support to him, and that she did, I'm sure, have a passion for history just as he did.
I first encountered Major Matthews in Gene Berman's book on Stanley Park, and I did not know anything about him very much heretofore, before that, I should say. And she draws on a lot of his sources, the histories that he took down of people who'd lived in Stanley Park, like Kanaka Ranch and so on and so forth. Was that largely his contribution, do you think? Or I mean, he saved maps and that sort of thing, but he took down oral histories.
Yes, many historians have drawn upon what Major Matthews collected. It's true that he did have an interesting and enjoyable association with Chief Cazzolano, who gave him the material which he used to draw these maps of the native sites around Vancouver.
Oral history as a resource, as a source, that wasn't much in the fashion back in the day, or did he help make it perhaps as reliable as, say, print sources or writing?
I think Major Matthews would very much have enjoyed the use of a tape recorder had he lived a little later, because he very much enjoyed having interviews with people. He would strike up an acquaintance very easily. I think he was a sociable kind of person. He would have an interesting talk with this person, asking them about their life in the early days of Vancouver, in the days before the Great Fire of Vancouver, in many cases. And we should know very little about the early history of Vancouver and the atmosphere of those times if it hadn't been for these interviews that he conducted. And then, when he got home, he would immediately transcribe these interviews that very night. He would work late into the night at all hours, and eventually collected these in the form of a book, Early Vancouver. And of course, once he was in charge of the city archives, all these were collected and catalogued and used in the archival collection.
As a historian, his work has been invaluable to you?
It has. It's been drawn upon by anybody who needs to write something which involves the history of Vancouver. I think you'll find his name in many, many source notes of the history books which have been written about this area. And also you will see his name attached to many of the photographs which are used in these histories. And very often he would write an elaborate caption consisting of several lines of text in his very neat, small handwriting, which gave all the facts and background to the photo.
In reading your book, Daphne, it seems that nothing about this man seemed ordinary. Is that the sense that you got?
It is. He was a very unconventional character. The role of archivist, he made what he wanted of, and he interpreted it in a very broad way. He was not only a collector of material and a cataloger, but he believed in going out and spreading the word. He was a brilliant publicist, I think a natural publicist. He gave talks and lectures, he wrote articles for the newspaper, and he invariably created headlines with a lot of his controversial actions. There would be headlines like, the fiery major is battling again, and major in conflict with city council, all that kind of thing. People think of archives as being perhaps a little dull and boring, but not when Major Matthews was in charge. He was invariably attracting some interesting headline.
And talk to me about this the title that he used, Major.
That was from his years in the war and in the militia preceding the war. He joined the Duke of Connaught's Own Rifles when he was only about 23, and he was so enthusiastic he was quickly promoted until he was a captain by the beginning of the war. Then he went out with the Canadian Expeditionary Force and fought on the Somme, well, where he was wounded, and by that time he was an acting major, and he was allowed to retain his rank of major after the war, and it was a source of great pride to him.
And he insisted that he be addressed that way?
I don't know whether he insisted on it, but he certainly liked to be known as Major Matthews. He was known as nothing but Major Matthews. He was an intensely patriotic man.
The role that his secretaries played, you write about that as well. They shared his passion as well?
Yes, they did. He was very fortunate in the people he attracted to take on the role of secretary, and virtually they were assistant archivists because they became very knowledgeable and they were very competent people. He did at one time try to find someone to take over from him, a deputy archivist, but he was a difficult man to get on with, and he never really succeeded in finding anyone. It was always his secretaries who acted as his assistant archivist, in actual fact.
Would he be pleased with the way that the archive has developed over the years?
He would be thrilled that they had a building of their own, and I think he would be enormously proud of what is happening. He would be surprised, too, in one way, and that is that he himself was not collecting municipal records. The city records only began to be collected in that building after his death. So this is a new extension of the archives to collect the city records. I think he was really more interested in the broad history of Vancouver and people's history than he was in city records.
Now, I've lived in Vancouver my whole life, Daphne, but I've never been there. Is that worth visiting one day?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Would visiting the archive be something that you would recommend to someone like myself who's lived in the city for a long time?
Oh, I think anybody who lives in Vancouver would find something of interest in there. They are visited by many people who want to research their family history or people who want to research a heritage home that they're living in. So it has more scope than simply being a resource for academics and scholars.
What compelled you to write this book?
Because I thought it was a story waiting to be written. Here was this larger-than-life personality who was so influential in saving Vancouver's history, and yet there was no book written about him. There have been books written about some of the other larger-than-life characters, like the mayors of Vancouver, Mayor Louis Taylor, and Mayor Jerry McGeer. But Matthews had never had any item written about him other than magazine articles. So it was time for him to be recognized.
You write in the book about his will, and it served as a great deal of consternation for many. Well, what was the deal there? I guess it was crafted differently than most conventional wills in terms of who owned what and what belonged to the archive?
Yes. Major Matthews had been nagging at City Hall for many years to provide him with a building specifically designed for archives, and nothing had happened. There had been promises and good intentions, but nothing had happened. So when he drew out his will, he so arranged it that his own personal collection, as opposed to the items which he'd collected on behalf of the city, and he had quite a valuable personal collection, which included artworks, paintings, statuaries, as well as documents, that he would leave this to the province, but only if they would put up a building within 1 year of his death. Otherwise, it would go to his family beneficiaries. And this had an amazing effect, because this is exactly what happened. They did build a building a year after he died.
Now, the other thing that I was just thinking about, and I've read your book about a month ago, so I can't remember. You talked about his children. He had four children, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
What happened to the children?
They are all still living, and living in the Vancouver area, or one on Vancouver Island.
How have they reacted to the book?
I'm only in touch with one member, and she is delighted with the book. She was very fond of her grandfather, and she's really delighted that he's been recognized at last in book form.
And the sources that you used, he had his memoirs. Well, were there other things that you thought?
She had a family Bible, and she had some letters, and of course, personal recollections.
This is, I must say, a compelling and fascinating book, and Daphne, I do appreciate you coming on today to talk about it, and congratulations on it. Continued good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
The book is called The Man Who Saved Vancouver, Major James Skit Matthews. It is worth picking up, and I do highly recommend it. 1995 from Heritage House. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.